Here's Wilson, and on the right side, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan
Braden Holtby!
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Power Play Point podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Point, and we're recording live to tape. And I am at the Digs in Glen Burnie, Maryland. Bid you welcome all to Caps fans from the Commonwealth of Virginia, the District of Columbia, and the State of Maryland. And with me, of course, as always, starting earlier this season, is the beautiful, wonderful, and talented, and uber cute mermaid mentalist.
Uber cute.
Anna Knox.
Mm-hmm. From Centerville. Woo! I'm home today. I decided to take a mental health day, and also I hyperextended my knee, so.
Ouch.
Yeah.
How?
Walking the dog, walking around Jamestown, walking, just being me, basically.
Oh, yeah. So, that's right. Yeah. I understand you took a Fi-Eld trip.
Yes.
Somewhere.
Good times. Yeah. We took 100 fourth graders and some parents to Jamestown. Good times. So it was great, except because I drove my own car and didn't do the bus, it wound up being 6 hours of driving, which is a lot in one day, especially when you're stuck on 95 by Quantico for about an hour.
Lovely.
But, you know, I'm finding all those cool songs I've been texting you on the Madonna radio. So work, bitch. Best song ever. Got me through the traffic.
And in marine country, no less.
Exactly. So, yeah, all good. So, yeah, I decided to come, you know, take a day off. And now we have this opportunity to record No Cocktails in Hand. Don't know how amusing I'll be, but that's okay.
What?
I know. But I'm assuming you're not drinking either, so... You usually don't.
Well, I am, but I have iced tea.
Right. It's not the same.
No. The drinking won't start until much later.
Right. Exactly. Like if I started now, we'd be in a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah.
So anyways, we're going early and we're ready to recap 3, 4, and 5.
Yes, absolutely. But a quick little bit of admin here. A lot of the reason why we're recording early, we hope to put this out. It is early in the afternoon, April 23rd, before game six tonight of the first round series against the Blue Jackets. Sports on the Hill podcast is having a special edition this evening. They're starting at 5:30. And of course, Anna, as always, will be featured in the Caps Talk segment.
Mm-hmm. And we're having our special guest today.
And special guest, gold medal winning forward from the United States of America women's ice hockey team, Haley Skarupa.
Yeah, amazing.
Will be joining. And I definitely got to catch that because, she's.
That little crush there, Gil?
No. I've always loved the women's game, so and she's a Rockville native, so that's I love to see the locals do great, so that's just totally awesome. Okay, so let's not waste any more time. Let's go ahead and get right into it. When we last left you, of course, the Caps have dug themselves a 2-0 hole,
mm-hmm.
And what a hole!
Big old hole.
They made asses out of themselves to get to that hole. by taking stupid penalties and doing other stupid things like blowing leads. But our captain took to the media and guaranteed that the series would be tied by the time it got to Game 5, and lo and behold, it was. And it started with Lars Eller. The Lars did giveth this time around, and he went to Subway in the second overtime because he got the foot long. Got his foot along the ice, and that puck happened to bounce off of it and into the net for the first of the two wins on the road. I hear a groan of disapproval already.
It's just a foot long comment. That's all. It's so, I don't know. I need to rally. No, we're good.
You want to go get yourself a cocktail? You can.
No, I'm kidding.
I can.
But no, that I could. I definitely was feeling so pumped after that goal. I mean, it is exactly what we needed to kind of kick off the next three games. And I know it was Eller, and we kind of go back and forth with him, but you know, right time, right place at the right time, and he did it.
Definitely the right place, right time. So a big relief. I loved the way DSP Devontae Smith-Pelly celebrated. He looked like a kid who was given $10 in a candy store. Absolutely loved it.
It was priceless. I mean, it was like you jumping up and down, and
yep.
That's what they needed. That's exactly what the team needed, was to be like, yeah, we're in these playoffs for a reason, and who cares if it's in overtime? We just get it done.
Right, exactly. And that led into Game 4, which probably was the best game the Caps have played in the playoffs in a long time. Absolutely dominant performance. Guess who, number 43, opened the scoring? By doing what?
I know.
By doing what I said, right?
Yes, being in front of the goal.
Being in front of the goal and waving his big stick.
Yeah.
And getting
yes.
a piece of the shot. And yeah. Okay.
He had me a big stick, and I wasn't sure what to do with that. So
yeah, exactly.
But you know, yeah, that's what he needed, because last week I talked about not being happy with his performance in this the first two games because of the times he was just doing stupid stuff. Like he was being, you know, tough guy Wilson on the ice and not, you know, hockey leader, impressive season playing Tom Wilson. So I think this was what we wanted to see. And yeah, what a way to start the game.
And he actually also opened the scoring in Game 3 as well.
Yes, he did.
By doing the same thing, except that was he was giving tips then again, and he just let out the big boomer in this one, Game 4. So mm-hmm. Okay, so then it's Oshie, who I'll give you that he's not 100%, but at least he's game enough to put on a good game. And then it was the captain with a bit of insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So Oshie actually ended up with the game winner because the Caps were absolutely dominant in only allowing 24 Columbus shots. Braden Holtby was spectacular in net, stopping 23 of those 24. Power play was clicking 1-for-3. Faceoff was absolutely dominant, 64%. And lo and behold, series is tied, just like the captain said it would be. And then came the next game, which was a nail-biter.
It was.
Though it shouldn't have been. And yet it was. I didn't want to gloss over it, but Dmitry Orlov in the last game, if I could have reached through and strangled him, I would have. It was game three where this happened. And I thought this was at the lowest point, but Alex Ovechkin gave him a cross ice pass and he swung at it and slapped at it like a crazed Ginsu chef and just absolutely missed it. And it led to the Jackets tying goal. But thankfully Eller was there for the winner. Sorry to flip back and forth, but I wanted to point that out. But thankfully, Orlov started to improve from there.
He did. Well, I think I was beyond annoyed with him and Orpik the first couple of games. And I felt like this game five, finally started a little turnaround. I saw Orpik playing more aggressively, but not getting, you know, not in the box, which was a plus. And I saw Orlov finally waking up a little bit more on his game and DSP. There were a couple moments where I felt like he was kind of asleep there on the ice, looking sloppy and not with it. So I kind of had an ebb and flow of players that I usually don't have negative things to say about. But then, you know, DSP, I was like, bah. But I was glad to see Orlov kind of, you know, I don't know, maybe just getting the beginning jitters out of the way.
Well, Orlov played, wasn't one of the three stars, but he played a pretty big role, I thought. Overall.
In the last one.
Definitely, in game five. Wound up with two assists, including a huge helper on what would be the game-winning goal, scored by Nicklas Backstrom, which, by the way, that is Stanley Cup playoff OT goal number 4 for him. I bet not a lot of Caps fans knew that he had that many. So I believe that ties Dale Hunter for the amount of career playoff OT goals.
Mm-hmm.
Dale Hunter, of course, a name from the past that longtime Caps fans will remember. So a pretty huge goal that was started from a blast from the point by Orlov, and that Backstrom happened to get a blade on, and that went in for the winner. It was not looking too good before that. That third period. Wow, I thought the Caps were pretty well sunk, and
yeah.
It sure did look like it. And unfortunately, that translated into the fans feeling it too. Now, much more on that a little bit later on. But that I don't know, to go from a dominant performance the game previous to 20 minutes of just all kinds of suck. They were outshot 16-1.
Yeah, that's completely unacceptable. Completely unacceptable. But this was my thing, was the whole time I was watching that, especially the third period, that word that came into my head frequently, other than the F word, was fatigue. A different F word was fatigue. I was really concerned that for Holtby, I don't know, they just started, you know, you get tired and then you get sloppy and you just, you know, and I feel like Ovechkin looked like he was just trying too hard, and you're doing that because you're freaking tired. So that was my concern. But I think, you know, once again, you know, we rallied, and that is the difference between the Caps in the playoff in the previous years and the Caps this year, is that, you know, having that little bit of steam, even into overtime, even when your body feels like it is about to, you know, collapse, and go in the extra yard and try an extra hard and, you know, getting a goal, and that's it. It's what they needed. And those were the things. The fatigue was the negative. The positive was, this is not something we had seen in the past in the playoffs, and now we're seeing it, and now it needs to continue.
Well, definitely. But before the very end, I mean, I had to say, they looked like the proverbial husband that had too much from the honey-do list to take care of and just wasn't getting it done.
Speaking from experience.
Maybe.
Yeah. Just again, like, you know, they were just out of sync, you know, just trying too hard to do things. There's scattered plays and missed passes and, you know, but we'll talk, like you said, we'll talk about the fan thing later, because that to me was, you know, from watching in my house, how quiet it was on the TV was infuriating, but I want to give the fans the benefit of the doubt that maybe it wasn't as quiet as I thought it was, but.
Well, I know what it was, and it wasn't just you who noticed that. But yeah, more on that in a second. But thankfully, mm-hmm. again, Backstrom came up with the game winner.
Yeah.
And
which, Saint Nick.
Yeah, which is something he does. Thank God. And I think you wanted to say something about Ovechkin getting some heat. I think.
No, you know what? I felt like on social media I was and people were, maybe it wasn't even so much social media. Unfortunately, it was like terrible commentating of how much his name was being brought up on. He didn't look as good. He didn't, you know, whatever the situation was. I felt like I was going to come to his defense and say, listen, you know, I'm not worried about him. He's not, you know, he doesn't look injured. He looks tired, but that's to be expected. But I felt like I didn't want people to put so much on him because for whatever reason, he just looked like he was trying too hard. And it was in careless errors, you know, versus like times that, you know, he gets a pass and does a slap shot and it's like, amazing goal. This was not quite happening in this game. And I'm okay with it. I am. I don't know if people, I'm sure there's a ton of people that disagree, but I felt like, you know, let's not get the pressure off of number eight. Okay. And let the rest of you step up because he's not the only reason why we're in the playoffs. And, you know, so he had a game like that and knowing him, he's going to come back and just be phenomenal tonight.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, he did have one great chance in overtime to end it from pretty much point blank range. And just Bobrovsky was equal to the challenge. That's going to happen.
Right. Know? But you have to admit that, like, there was a couple of things you're like, whoa, that was Ovechkin that missed that. You know, a couple of just, you know, it wasn't his game, which I'm not going to fault him. I was more irritated before with Orlov, then he stepped up. And, you know, Backstrom is like just that silent killer out there that he just is so damn good. And he did, you know, what we needed. And I'm so excited.
Well, before we get into the, you know, the disappointing fan thing, I'd like to point out that, well, okay, so Backstrom actually scored his first two goals of the series in this game, but before that, he had five assists going into this game and got his sixth one on the goal in the power play goal in the second period. So it's not like he hasn't been doing anything. And of course, John Carlson is having a killer playoffs. He's only adding to his net worth. So it's not as if this team isn't trying. That's for damn sure.
Wait, are you saying that I feel that, or you're just
No. I'm just saying that in general.
Yeah, I agree. When I said when we went live the other day, and I said I felt really strongly about Rana, Backstrom, and Carlson having awesome games. I was glad to see that they did. I still think Rana's speed's going to be beneficial. I think Tommy's just a force out there, and John Carlson is just getting it done. And so that's it. So yeah, definitely. I just don't want to see people just go quiet and not rally.
Yeah,
that's my frustration.
I totally get that. So we're going to get to the main focus of why we're even putting out a show today. Because, well, okay, so as we mentioned earlier, it was an abomination of a third period for our Washington Capitals. And yeah, you have to admit, They looked bad. They might want to cover the kiddos' ears for this one. They sucked donkey genitalia in the third period.
Gross.
They were awful, awful. And here's some observations, some key observations that I noticed. Ed Frankovic from Twitter, from WNST, asked Trotz about the Blue Jackets' third period and if it was an effort, effect, or something tactical. He said it wasn't tactical, though it was just Seabus going all in and his team not matching their intensity. He liked the way the Caps responded in the OT. My take on that, Caps were playing way too much fucking rope-a-dope. And it hurt them. They started the game that way, and they went into the third period that way. So I don't know if it was tactical, but that's how they came off.
Mm-hmm.
Another outsider's observation, the Puck Podcast, also from Twitter. Capitals appear to be completely out of gas. They have no life in their legs, and they're not making the Blue Jackets work. Washington is surviving at this point, not competing. Pretty good description of what went on in the third period.
Absolutely.
So, in reaction to that, the Caps fans, okay, here's a couple of observations I found about that. From my man Kevin Simmons in the True Caps Fans Facebook room. If the game is tied or we are down by one, the fans need to come alive. The guys feed off the energy from the crowd. And look who's Anna on the spot and totally agreed. In a word, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin was spot on. And I liked that comment from him because it wasn't putting it on just a player or on Trotz and throwing someone under the bus. No, this is your fan base. You know, we're not able to attend the game, so we're rooting from home. We're here for the 60 minutes. And like you said, the fanatics, all the way till the end. All the way to the end. And when you're sitting, you know, and people, you go quiet. What is wrong with that? And I agree. We've all been in a stadium or at a game or something, whether it was in high school, college, or currently, where when one person, you know, starts the wave and everyone gets into the game, it is so much more fun and the players are so pumped. And that's what we need to get back to. That's what this team needs, to know that we're not going to say, oh, but it's the Capitals in the playoffs. So no, we're not saying that anymore. We've moved on from that.
Right. Exactly. And so one more observation from my old friend, Doug Lucerarian, in the Power Play Point podcast Facebook room. And I quote, "And can Capital One Arena please get behind this team?
Yes.
Very sleepy and quiet all game."
Yeah.
All game.
Like, how many of us in our Power Play Point Facebook page and Chris Levesque's page and Sports on the Hill and all those things, how awesome would it have been to be like, hey, listen, if you're not going to rock the red for 60 minutes, why don't you give us your tickets and we'll show you how it's done?
That's real.
How I was feeling.
For real.
You know? Like, honestly, I would have gone, and I'm not, believe it or not, I know it may be a shocker, I'm not an aggressive fan. I get fired up. I get the Irish out, yes, but I'm not like a taunting, you know, jerk to the person next to me if they're on the opposing team, unless I'm being pushed. But I feel like this group, like we could have gone and had a blast and rocked the red and cheered on the boys and at least felt like, yeah, I hope they hear us. I don't want to go to start talking crap with Columbus fans. I don't want to talk about the Pens fan. I don't know. I only care about our kids, you know, our kids, our boys, and showing them support.
Absolutely. So, and this, I'm sorry, this sickened me to the point where I feel like for once I'm the one that has to get up on the soapbox now, because the one, in addition to Kevin and Doug, the one observation that really struck me, my cousin Eddie weighed in and said something. And he's not a hockey fan at all that I know of. And he said, I'm paraphrasing here because I can't see it, but basically what he said was,
he couldn't help but notice he was watching different games, and ours was by far the quietest fan set that day.
Right. Well, and the sad thing is, the quietest game at home. You know, it's not like, hey, we're in Columbus and where the Caps fans at. No, we're at home. You have 19,000 people there. Everyone's wearing their red, and it's crickets. You know, no one, everyone's on their stupid phone, and you know, tweeting or doing whatever about, oh, here we go. No, put your phone away and get behind your team.
Absolutely. So I've got my Irish up. I understand. Well, I've got something to say. I've got a message, direct message, for all of our fellow Caps fans, especially the ones who are lucky enough to have season tickets or to regularly otherwise attend games for this playoff year. I've got something I want to say. I'm going to take a few minutes. So I'm going to take some time to address my fellow Caps fans, because the quietness was an embarrassment. And I was, sad to admit, ashamed to be one of you. So I'm going to put the message out there. Well, I've already put the message out there that we have to be fanatics. So what do I have to do or say now to get the message across? Because it obviously isn't sinking in. You, the fans who are damn lucky enough to enjoy the privilege of seeing the game live, you all need to wake up. Now look, you might not even realize it or believe it because of being jaded from labor disruptions and lockouts and things like that. But guess what? We, the fans, have a part to play in all of this. How? Because we all have a story. Hopefully, most of you, if not all of you, have seen by now that Our Team, Our Town YouTube video.
Love it.
That was posted by Chris Levesque and True Caps fans. And I'm sure elsewhere. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. And I will post it on the episode description of this episode if you haven't seen it. But you need to see it. Because it tells the story of how each and every one of us fell in love with this team and this town. Doesn't matter where you are. And that's why I say, at the beginning of every show, or at the end, it's why I recognize the three regions. And even if you're not from around here, if you're a Caps fan, this show is for you. This team is for you. But if you think you're going to show up there, if you buy a ticket, and you walk into Capital One, and you think you're there just to have something to do? Or just to get on TV, maybe? Or to stuff your face with popcorn, peanuts, pretzels, pizza, whatever? No! It's not what you're there for! At all! You are there to represent your community. To represent where you live. Because that is your team on the ice. That is what they are doing, representing you. But they can't do it alone. We are a community. We're a family. So many years ago, I never thought I'd be talking to somebody from Virginia, much less doing this podcast. So many years ago, I thought I'd stay in my shell. But because of this team, I'm talking to great people like Anna, like Chris Levesque, like Ron Schrantz, like Doug Lucerarian, like Pete Fisher, like Kevin Simmons. And some of these people I've never met face-to-face, but I know they're great people, not just because they're Caps fans, but they're part of something bigger. So here we all are. And I'm sure there's things that you all out there have never done before, just like I'd never done this before. Things like getting through school, putting yourself through school, your first job maybe, watching your kids grow up and graduate, great things like that. But you did it, and again, here you are. So why do I talk about something like that? because I sense that you all are afraid. I understand you're afraid. And why? You're afraid of being let down again. You're afraid of not getting rid of that label called loser. Because that's what you're called because you're a Caps fan. But I'm here to tell you right here and now, that time for being afraid is over. It is done with. Because being afraid and doing nothing never got anybody anywhere. Ever. Each and every one of you out there has had a moment where you got something done in spite of fear. But fear is what I saw and what I heard in that whole third period, last game. I don't ever want to see or hear it ever again. Because more than anything, your team needs you. They need you to be that seventh man. So here's what you've got to do. I don't care if you're in the nosebleeds. I don't care if you're in the lower bowl. I don't care if you're walking within the portals. For fuck's sake, I don't care if you're in the damn bathroom. Let this team hear you. If you're there, let them hear you. Doesn't matter what. Because all of that energy can't be destroyed. It has to go somewhere. And guess where it's going to go? It's going to go to the good guys wearing red, white, and blue. And I'm not talking about the CBJ. I'm talking about our guys. If you rock the red and create that energy, it does translate. It does carry. It does mean something. Because with all that energy that we create together, it can carry this team. It can do something. It is something. And it will mean something forever. And it doesn't even matter what the scoreboard says at the end. So the time to be scared, my fellow Washington Capitals fans, the time to be scared is over. Caps fans, glory lives forever. You want to be a part of it. And to be a part of it, you have to be heard in all caps. And I'm done.
That was awesome. Truly. Truly awesome.
And you're just saying that.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I was quiet because I was letting it all sink in. Way to go. Everything that you said, I agree. And the one thing that stood out in my mind, not knowing this individual personally, but having been at Caps games with my cowbell, we'll say that, you know, everyone, we all felt a loss when this person passed away recently. And I kind of feel like if he was there, you know, like let's just pretend he is there in spirit and get those cowbells out.
And he is.
And freaking rock the red.
And he is. There's a lot of.
I hate for him to be disappointed.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of Caps fans we've lost along the way. Yes. Among the 40 plus years this team has been in existence. And unfortunately, we'll never see the Caps lift the cup. But you know what? You're right. They're here in spirit. And if they were here physically, by God, they would let their presence be felt.
Right.
You would
and
hear
so
them.
I felt, yeah. So I feel like, hey, listen, in his honor and everyone else's, step the fuck up. It's time. And yeah, I, you know, you and I spoke yesterday about, you know, how, what do you say or coach point of view and all that kind of stuff. And I just remember, at times being an athlete and wanting to feel motivated by something. And I had one really amazing coach and one that was, he was just okay. I didn't really feel totally amped, but I remember watching things on television that got me excited to want to be, you know, in a fan base behind a sport. And I will say, like, Rudy, best football movie. I mean, come on. Like, you have this entire stadium, Notre Dame, pulling for this guy, and that kind of amped up, you know, energy and Hoosiers and Fever Pitch. I mean, I know I've talked about Red Sox before, but it's all about, you know, fans that feel like let down and they're not really sure, and then, or players feeling let down, and the fan base comes back and everyone is amped, and look at the end result. And we need to have a Rudy Hoosiers Fever Pitch end for these Caps.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
we can create that.
Yes.
We can be that atmosphere. And Kevin is right when he says they feed off of that. There is nothing. I mean, if in this lifetime, if you are lucky enough to be in something of a crowd and do something worthy of getting applause.
Right.
And I've been there. I've been lucky enough to have been there a couple, three times in my life. There is nothing like that feeling. Nothing in the world. And that's part of the reason why these athletes do what they do. But again, they can't do it alone. You've got to create that atmosphere. And you've got to get over that fear that, oh no, here we go again. No! You got to scream and shout and make noise and let mm-hmm. them know you're there. Because if it's quiet so much that you can hear a pin drop,
no, yeah.
It's not.
Then you failed.
You
then
failed.
You have failed as a fan.
Exactly.
Then you're not a fanatic. You're just a fan.
You're just sitting there.
And you're just sitting there. And again, I will say I have been part of a team that has, you know, been screaming for, you know, a certain player or an athlete or whatever. And I've also been on the receiving end of it. And I will tell you, it is an absolute amazing feeling. Someone, when they're calling your name or your last name or your number or whatever it is, and there's a chant and there's music going or whatever it is, God, you definitely feel like you just are so amped up. And at that time, you're not even thinking of how tired you are or how hungry you are or how, you know, how much sleep you wish you were getting. You're not thinking about anything except kicking ass and doing it to have that fan base continue to say your name, the team's name, you know, whatever it is. But we go silent, they start doubting, and then it becomes mental, and then it is not okay. So we, yeah, absolutely failed this team at the last game. Failed them.
And there you have it. There you have it. The voice of experience. And so I beg you, my fellow Caps fans, don't let that happen again. Don't let that fear take over. Start believing in this team. And you know what? Even if they end up losing or not going so far, you know what? Like I said, what the scoreboard says doesn't matter. If you come away with the ringing in the ears and know that you gave it your best effort, then you can walk away with your head held high.
Mm-hmm.
So, Caps fans, don't let it happen again. Get rid of the fear. Believe.
Yeah.
Just believe.
Yep.
And with that, I think we're going to wrap it up. And so tonight, 7:30 puck drop. Game 6, hopefully they wrap it up. And yes,
yeah.
Our next round opponent has been determined. It is those dreaded flightless birds. But you know what? We'll be ready.
Yeah, I don't care.
This team will be ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe. Anna believes.
Yes.
I need you all to believe. We all need you all to believe. Because it won't matter unless you do. Whew. All right. Well, so for Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that if you want to make a tissue dance, all you got to do is just put a little boogie in it.
You're doing so well.
Well,
doing
you
so.
You know me.
I do.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.